Coming up on today's edition of the Locked On Raiders podcast, Good Morning Football and NFL Network, they're talking about Derek Carr and the chip on the shoulder that he and the Raiders have. We'll talk all things Raiders offensive line, concentrate on Alex Leatherwood and Denzel Good in particular, plus your calls and texts will close out the show. It's all coming up on today's edition of the Locked On Raiders podcast for Wednesday, June 29th, 2022.
Your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Just Raiders. Win. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Just win. Your team Just every win. Day.
Just win.
The autumn wind is a raider, pillaging just for fun. He'll knock you round and upside down and laugh when he's conquered and won.
And welcome in, Raider Nation, to another edition of the Locked On Raiders podcast. Thank you so much for making the show your first listen each and every day. Remember, you can find Locked On Raiders podcast free and available on all platforms. Definitely appreciate you reaching out to me by way of the Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line. You can always hit me up at 707-654-4693. And you can also hit me up on Twitter at yourboyq254. And that's what Smitty did on Tuesday. And why did Smitty hit me up on Tuesday on Twitter? Well, he actually sent me a video, and it was Good Morning Football on NFL Network. And they had a video of myself and Derek Carr and John Smoltz on that American Century Championship Golf Tournament, the Zoom call that I was on Tuesday, or actually on Monday, and I brought to you on Tuesday's show. I had no idea that Good Morning Football was going to have that and air it, and I don't know where they saw it, where they got it from, but they took it and they found some good stuff that Derek Carr had to say. And so when they aired it on the show on Tuesday, it was me, Derek Carr, and John Smoltz. And the thing about it is, I had no idea, first of all, it was going to be on TV at all. I just thought it was a Zoom call where I was asking my questions, going to get the audio and bring it to the table like I did. You know, I brought it to the show so you can hear it. Well, I got my wave cap on. I'm listening to what Derek Carr has to say. I'm looking at him in his eye. He's looking at me in my eyes or whatever. And, you know, I'm listening. And so at the time when you do that, you start nodding your head like, yes, you understand. So as I'm doing that, I'm looking at the video that Smitty sent me, and I'm nodding my head. And so a lot of people had a lot of fun with it. They're, Q, is that a computer glitch or something? Why does your head keep bobbing up and down? And one guy was like, hey, there's a bobblehead with headphones on. And so that was fun. A lot of people had some good jokes with it, and that's cool. You know, I have no problem with that, but I thought it was cool that Good Morning Football actually picked that up, that video, and put it out there. And they actually turned the audio that I had on the podcast on Tuesday, they actually turned that into a full-blown segment on Good Morning Football. Now, again, it had nothing to do with me. It was all what Derek Carr had to say, and it was him talking about, you know, working, what he's working on in training camp. And then he started getting into the part that nobody's really talking about the team, and he thought that they made the playoffs and what's really going on. So if you didn't hear the audio or you didn't tune into Tuesday's show, this is what Derek Carr was talking about that Good Morning Football reacted to.
One thing I've learned with this staff is where we're not saying much. And so, we are working on some stuff, and you know me, Q, I try and share as much as I can to help you guys out and all that kind of stuff. But we're working on some things, but we got a lot of work to do to be able to compete in our division. You know, you get frustrated when you see, you know, other people's names on things and this and that, and you're like, well, we're here too. You know, we feel like we got better too. And I thought we made the playoffs. And so hopefully it doesn't guarantee anything this year, but it does guarantee that we have some good guys. And so, you know, we got a chip on our shoulder like always. And as Raiders, I think that's how we should have it. And, you know, we're excited to compete against the best. My buddy Khalil joined the Chargers. You know, then, the Broncos got better. The Chiefs got better. And you're looking around, you're like, man, it's going to be a lot of fun playing these teams and against the best, some of the best quarterbacks in the game. And it's what you look forward to. It's what you want to sign up for.
So that was Derek Carr on the Zoom call for the American Century Championship Golf Tournament. That was some of the audio right there that Good Morning Football and NFL Network was playing back on their show and reacting to. And of course, on Good Morning Football, Kay Adams is no longer part of the show. They have Jamie Erdahl, Kyle Brandt, Jason McCourty was on the show as well, one of the McCourty brothers, and then Peter Schrager. So I want you to hear the response to what they had to say about Derek Carr. And a lot of Raider Nation says nobody's ever talking about the Raiders, and Derek Carr said nobody's talking about the Raiders, but there's a certain way to talk about them, and then there's another way to talk about them. There's one way to talk about them where you respect the team and you think they have an opportunity to do some good things, and then there's another way of just talking about them like, hey, well, they have Devontae Adams, they have Josh McDaniels, yeah, Derek Carr got a contract extension, yeah, you're talking about them, but you're not really talking about them like you respect them. So let's start off with Jason McCourty, obviously one of the McCourty brothers, reacted to the question, do you think the Raiders are being talked about enough?
I do think
They are being over. They're not being talked about enough. Like you just said, this is a 10-win team. They went to the playoffs last year. They had a coaching snafu. They had adversity that they had to work through. And we're here crowning the Denver Broncos because they added Russell Wilson. All we're talking about is Tyreek Hill leaving Kansas City, but we keep saying it doesn't matter. They're still going to be on top. And then there's the Chargers. Mm-hmm. All we keep talking about is how good they are now because obviously Herbert's return. They signed J.C. Jackson. They got Khalil Mack. We focus all around the division, and it's just like, hey, the Broncos finished last year, and they got a new coach, and they got a brand new quarterback. They have chemistry that they have to work through. Yes, the Raiders have a new coach and a new GM, Josh McDaniel coming in, bringing a Patriot way. I talked to my guy, Daron Harmon, who signed there this offseason, and he's fired up about it. He said the one thing that they're building now is continuity. This is the important part, he said, during the offseason, is they've been building that chemistry. Guys are getting together, doing things outside the building, getting to know each other, and that's the focus. And those are the intangibles that you're going to need to have a good season for them to really be able to push to be at the top of that division.
So there's Jason McCourty right there on Good Morning Football on NFL Network on Tuesday, and he's giving the Raiders some props right there. He's saying everything that Raider Nation should be excited about and what he's hearing from players that he knows that are playing with the Raiders this upcoming year. So Jason McCourty, very complimentary of the Silver and Black. Now, one of the co-hosts, Peter Schrager, not so much.
See, I have a problem with the comment. I think it's a straw man comment. And what do I mean by a straw man comment? I think we talk a lot about the Raiders. And I think when they got Davante Adams and Chandler Jones, we did 2 weeks of like, the Raiders are back, the Raiders are back, the Raiders are back. If anything, we got to pull back the reins on the Raider talk. And by doing this, by saying we're being overlooked and people aren't talking about us, and it almost makes him this like nobody believes in us thing, which is almost mind games that I appreciate from Derek Carr. Like, in no good faith can he walk in and look in the mirror and really believe we're not talking about the Raiders. All we talk about is the Raiders.
It's a lot of
talk about Derek Carr and how he got his new contract. Talk about the Raiders. Talk about Hunter Renfrow. He's so overlooked. Well, he's not overlooked. We talk about him every single day. And then Chandler Jones. And then, to your point, all your Patriots buddies. It's not only just McDaniels and Ziegler. It's Mick Lombardi comes over there from New England. And then you add in all the players. Brandon Bolden, Jacob Johnson, Daron Harmon. It's a who's who of like leaders from the Patriots. If anything, I think I'd like to see them get beyond the wild card round, and that's what I want to see. And we talk a lot of Derek Carr. His brother's on the darn network. He talks a lot about his brother.
I like Darren Carr, too.
I like Darren Carr, the oldest brother.
That's my guy.
But all this stuff doesn't matter in May, June, July. What's going to matter, and not even for them in December, it's going to matter in January, because when it mattered most, the Raiders had the ball down in Cincinnati, and they couldn't get the job done. They are better on paper. I think they've got a better coaching staff, and their quarterback just got paid. And if you don't think that Davante Adams out there makes a bullseye on your team, you're crazy. We talk a lot of Raiders. Now you've got to go take care of business, and you got to make sure we're talking about you in January.
Peter, okay. Wow.
So there's Peter Schrager right there. And yeah, okay, he's talking about the Raiders. He's talking about Derek Carr, Davante Adams, Josh McDaniels, Hunter Renfrow, but not really talking about the team. Like, hey, they're going to make a run in the AFC West. They're going to challenge the Kansas City Chiefs. They have an opportunity to win the division. He's not talking like that, and that's what Derek Carr is talking about on that Zoom call when he's saying, hey, what about us? By the way, we went to the playoffs last season, and we all feel like we got better. That's the kind of conversation Derek Carr is talking about. It's not just saying the name Raiders or mentioning players on the team. He's talking about some real respectful conversations. So what did Kyle Brandt have to say about the Derek Carr comments?
I think one of the most obnoxious things that people do in our industry is they're year after year, no matter what happens, they just hate this team or hate this player, and it's a shtick, and it gets them swimming pools, and good for them, and they do it. Like, great, if that's how you want to have your career, enjoy a swimming pool. For years, I've not been a fan of the Raiders or Derek Carr, just objectively. I just don't think the results have been there. That's all changed. I really like the Raiders this year, and the biggest reason why is so unbelievably impressed with what they accomplished last year. I just understand. Derek Carr's right. They were in the playoffs, and they were one throw away from beating the sweetheart Bengals. What he didn't mention is they're in the playoffs with an interim special teams head coach in a season in which their other head coach went through hell and was let go, in which Henry Ruggs, like, all sorts of crazy things that would have torn other teams apart, and this season would have just died on a vine. It inspired them. Mm-hmm. They won. They got into the playoffs over the Justin Herbert Chargers. They were there, ready to win that play. I can't tell you how impressed I am with the Raiders last year and how much it changed how I feel about Derek Carr, who I've always thought was a pretty good quarterback, and I thought he was an amazing leader. Yeah. I love what they have. I have really robust feelings about how they're going to finish in the division, which we'll get to shortly. But if people are saying that the Raiders aren't this or aren't that, it's not me. Like, listen, I think they're coming for the Chiefs. Like, I think they're that good. I love them this year, and I love the McDaniels factor, which seems to be this big enigma in it where, oh my God, not only are they having a new coach there, I mean, kind of like a loaded topic of a head coach that we're not sure, but we're excited about. I love them this year, and I think they earned it last year.
So there's Kyle Brandt, who admittedly was not a big believer in the Raiders or even Derek Carr, but after what he saw last year, what he saw them overcome and the leadership that he saw from the quarterback and an interim head coach in Rich Bisaccia and a band of brothers in that locker room come together after all the issues that the team faced and still won 10 games and still made it to the playoffs, now he's a believer. And oh, by the way, he saw them go out and upgrade the team throughout the course of the offseason, including the head coach, Josh McDaniels. So Kyle Brandt is talking about the Raiders how Derek Carr is talking about. Like, hey, talk about us in this sense. You know, why don't you give us some love for what we were able to do and what we look like we could do moving forward. So there you go. Kyle Brandt is giving the Raiders some love right there. So Jamie Erdahl, the new host of the show, took over for Kay Adams. She was the last one to speak on it, and this is what she had to say.
One team wins it all, right? And that's the team that's hoisting Lombardi at the end of the year. You talk about they get past the Chargers. I'll go one back before. They go to Indianapolis. That was a team that was like on the brink.
Sure. Great call.
Could punch its ticket in. They, on paper, probably shouldn't have won that game. The Colts have everybody firing. They're at home. The Raiders come to their place with all the adversity you talked about and pull out a win there in Indianapolis before then they go and beat the Chargers. I mean, they had a tough road to get back into the playoffs, and they hit every like check mark that they needed to hit to get in there. So you want to talk about teams finishing strong, not the team that won it, not the team that advanced the Super Bowl, but they did things at the end of the season that were impressive given what they were going, or impressive period. Let me just stop there. Impressive period. They won in situations that were incredibly hard to win. And so I'm with, I think, everyone on this desk and the fact that I don't think they're overlooked. And then the bigger question is probably, okay, so if they're not overlooked, then let's look at the division.
Okay. Yeah.
Who's going to finish last in the division?
And then that, you heard her talking about that. Who finished last in the division? Who's going to finish last in the division? That became another conversation. So all this came about from Derek Carr being on that Zoom call that I just happened to be a part of on Monday. And I thought that that was really cool. And again, an off season, you're always looking for conversations. You're looking for something to talk about. And that provided a lot. And just to be on that video and for them to have to play that video. And I ended up on NFL Network. I thought that was really cool. And when I think that, you know, things can't get any better, they seem to continue to get better. So I know a lot of people saw that video floating around Twitter, and a lot of people, as I mentioned, had a lot of fun with it, and I'm okay with that. I have fun with it as well. Again, never, ever thought that it was going to end up on TV, but boom, there you go. You just never know. So next time, I guess I just won't have to wear a wave cap. I'll have to let the waves shine a little bit, but that's really all I got for you for segment number one of today's Locked On Raiders podcast. Not really news and notes, but just a kind of cool little feature that was on NFL Network's Good Morning Football on Tuesday. Coming up in segment number two, Jacob from Fresno sent me a text message asking about the offensive line, in particular Alex Leatherwood. We'll do all that conversation about the O-line coming up in segment number two after I talk to you about rockauto.com. They're a family business, been serving auto part customers online for over 20 years. I've been telling you about them for a long time, and what I love about them is what? They save you a lot of time, and they save you a lot of money. Time is money, and money is money. You don't want to spend a lot of money on the same parts you can get at a chain store or car dealership. You can get them on rockauto.com for a lot less. So why spend the extra coin? You don't have to do that. They have every single part that you need, every kind of car. All you got to do is punch in the make and model, and boom, the parts will come up. You order them, they go right to your house, and you're good to go. As I mentioned, you will save yourself a ton of money. Their website is super easy to navigate. You'll quickly find the parts that you need. Not a lot of frustration. It's not a frustrating website. If I can figure it out, please believe you can figure it out. What you need to do right now is go to the website, rockauto.com. Check out the parts available for your car or truck. While you're there, there's a box that said, how'd you hear about us? You just write, Locked On Raiders Podcast. That's how they know that I sent you, and I'm doing my job. Great selection, great low prices. All the parts your car is ever going to need is at one spot, rockauto.com.
Your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Raiders.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, Raider Nation, here we go. Segment number two of today's Locked On Raiders podcast. Want to talk about the Raiders offensive line. Want to talk about Alex Leatherwood. This is a text that actually came through by way of Jacob from Fresno. And, of course, that's off that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line at 707-654-4693. Send a text and then a link as well to this article. And he said, Q, have you had a chance to read this article about Alex Leatherwood? I have a feeling that the Raiders are going with that old Vegas saying of let it ride. Like to hear your thoughts. Stay cool in Vegas because it's just as hot as Fresno right now. And so that was from Jacob in Fresno. And the piece is actually a different article with the link to an ESPN.com piece. And all 32 teams are represented on this ESPN.com piece. Their NFL Nation reporters all picked one player that was under the radar player from minicamp workout. So the Raiders ESPN.com reporter is Paul Gutierrez. So he put a piece out about offensive lineman Alex Leatherwood. And he said, the off-maligned 2021 first-round pick who was moved from right tackle to right guard after just four games last season, spent a lot of time back at right tackle this offseason. He was drafted to be a tackle, and as Coach Josh McDaniels said, Leatherwood would be given every opportunity to win the gig back. So getting that much time on the outside should do wonders for his confidence, as well as put him on track to reclaim his old job. Whether that's a positive development for the offensive line as a whole remains to be seen. So that's what Paul Gutierrez had to say. Now, others saw that and said, hey, Alex Leatherwood's doing great this offseason. That doesn't mean he was doing great this offseason. It means that he was getting an opportunity to earn that right tackle position back. And I think ideally the Raiders would like him to be the guy that they expected him to be when they were drafting him, even though it wasn't Dave Ziegler, Champ Kelly and company. It was the old regime. They know he was drafted to be a right tackle and they're expecting him to be a right tackle, but he's going to have to go earn that in training camp. So keep that in mind when you're hearing reports about he's having a really good offseason, because we really don't know. And of course, veterans don't report to training camp until the 20th. The rookies will report on the 18th, and then we'll start to see them actually put in work day after day after day, and we'll get a little bit better idea. But Paul Gutierrez, who wrote that little piece, joined me on my radio show on Raider Nation Radio 920 right as mandatory minicamp was getting wrapped up, and we had just talked to Alex Leatherwood earlier in the day. He joined the show, and so of course I asked him about the offensive line and asked him one of the main questions about Alex Leatherwood. Is he the key to this year's offensive line success?
Just by the definition of his position, yeah. At right tackle, I mean, you're protecting the edge. And with all these edge rushers in the AFC West especially, I mean, you need somebody out there that can do not just hold his own, but more than hold his own. I've already gone on record and said that to me the key to the offensive line is actually Denzel Good. Because okay. If he is healthy coming back from that torn ACL and he solidifies that right guard spot, well, then you know that Alex Leatherwood is out there, which then makes him, okay, well, then he's key 1A, right? So, yeah, there's no doubt. And talking with him today and seeing his body language, he still doesn't look entirely comfortable talking to us. And we're nowhere near what a Bosa or a Mac will present when they play the Chargers. But, you know, what my key takeaway from what he said today was he stayed on script. He said he's been working at multiple positions, and multiple can be two, it can be four. So it's obvious we've seen him both at right guard and right tackle the past 2 days. So I think I know the key thing for him is getting his confidence back. And he mentioned, he said, hey, I'm human. I have emotions. I have feelings. So, you know, being a first-round pick and a lot of people going, who, when he was drafted, there's some pressure on him. But at the same time, I think he gets a lot of leeway, too.
So there's Paul Gutierrez, and you heard him talk about Alex Leatherwood and by position, the right tackle position. Of course, that is a lot of the key to the success of the team if they can solidify that spot. But he's also talking about Denzel Good, getting him back healthy, how much he would mean to the success of the offensive line. Well, I also asked him about Alex Leatherwood playing all season long his rookie year, even though he only played the four games at the tackle position. He kicked inside the guard, and he got those valuable reps. How much does he think that that's going to help Alex in the long run?
A great question that we asked Josh McDaniels back at the owners' meetings in Florida in March. And he said the great thing about him is he played a lot. And he's going to be better than his rookie season because he has to be. And you know, what's the saying? That doesn't kill you only makes you stronger. And right. You know, he went through an up-and-down season. And then he was one of the most penalized offensive linemen in the league. And a position switch 5 games into your NFL career, 6 games in, that cannot do anything to bolster your confidence, but especially when it looked like as a move to protect him. But we saw a lot of this with Colton Miller, too, mm-hmm. when he first came into the league. And he is one of the upper tier of left tackles in the league now. So there's got to be some patience with him. And, you know, body-wise, he looks in a much better shape for an offensive lineman. It just depends upon what kind of tackle they want out there. Do they want a stouter guy like him, or do they want the big, long arms and the 300-plus guy out there, too? So that's what the offseason is about, is just for him to get his legs under him, literally. And I thought it was interesting when Vic Tafer asked him about the violent hands. And he said, no, it's not about the violent hands. It's about getting the hands in the right place, dot, dot, dot. And then getting violent.
So there's Paul Gutierrez from ESPN talking about Alex Leatherwood, talking about the offensive line, talking about some things he saw from him during the offseason. And that was, again, wrapping up mandatory minicamp. So let's flip it over to Lincoln Kennedy. He was a guy that was very high on Alex Leatherwood. So I asked him, as he was a guest on my radio show, what he thought Alex Leatherwood's best position was moving forward.
Well, it depends on the offseason. Now, you know how clandestine these little minicamps and everything has become in football today. It's not an open forum like it once was, where you have access. And I've always believed, doesn't matter what time of year, you never know how good you are until you play against somebody. So it depends on the off season for Alex Leatherwood. I said last year on countless shows on Raider Nation Radio and every other platform I had that I still think Alex Leatherwood can be a good offensive lineman, a good pro in this league. The things that held him up last year is that he got stagnant in his ways and he just wasn't coached right. And it's going to be interesting to see if it happens, if he's been able to coach out of those things. The things that most people don't realize, especially when you play this game, it has a lot to do with muscle memory. Guys don't generally think. They go for what they know. They go what they've had success with in the past. And sometimes it's really hard to break those types of tendencies. I always believe that Alex Leatherwood's biggest nemesis, biggest minus last year, was that he would stick both of his hands out, extend them, overextend themselves at times, and leave them out there. So when people would knock him down or would swim, move him, or bypass him, or just push him out of the way, he had no recourse. He was unable to move his hips. So moving him in at guard really helped him because it gave him a little bit tighter space to play in, not as much space as tackle. However, in there, he still had the same tendency where he would be overextended. And once guys got even with his shoulders, there was a lot of holding penalties, a lot of miscues. So with that being said, you know, I told everybody, I said, look, he needs to be like a boxer where he's jamming and he's pulling his hand back and he's jamming again. And you learn how to basically throw punches, you know, at a man who's coming at you to buy yourself 3 to 4 seconds, which is generally all the time you need to pass the football. I don't know if he's been able to do that. I won't see until training camp if he's been able to do that. I still think he can play tackle if he learns how to use his hands better. But if not, he's better suited for a guard. They have to cover up the blemish that they have not been able to cover up for years at the right tackle. You got to keep a whole offensive line intact if you expect Derek Carr and this offense to have any success.
So there's Lincoln Kennedy right there with a very detailed answer on Alex Leatherwood, what he thinks the best position for him would be. If he can have better muscle memory, if he can have better hand placement, then tackle, yeah, he could play that position. If not, if he's going to go ahead and hold those arms out there and not hit like a boxer and pat, 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 pat like that, if he's not going to do that, then they better kick him inside the guard and figure something out when it comes to the right tackle position. So the final soundbite that I want you to hear is also from Lincoln Kennedy on how important it's going to be to get Denzel Good back healthy for the success of the Raiders offensive line.
I think it's absolutely essential. You know, the Raiders came in last season with a plan, if you will. And then all of it went to hell when Richie Incognito couldn't play and Denzel went out at the first game. They had to sort of just try to make up as they went along. But I think Denzel Good is what we call a road grader. If you can able to match him with Leatherwood's tenacity, if they are able to get consistency on the right side, I think it opens up a lot of promising ways to run the football. And I know Josh McDaniels, especially when he was coordinating offense in New England, liked to run the football. I'd like to see the Raiders get back to that hard-nosed stuff. Look, they're going to have plenty of arsenal to throw the football, plenty of passes, time to throw the football. But if you can run the ball, you establish a precedent, and you establish a presence about your team that main offensive linemen love to do. Defensive linemen are fresh. They get to go out there and do what they do and don't have to worry about playing a whole lot of time. So I think, you know, having Denzel Good back into the fold, if he's healthy and he's capable, I think will be good, because here's a versatile player that can play either guard, and we saw the year before, play tackle.
There you go. Lincoln Kennedy right there talking about Denzel Good. And I wanted to make sure you heard about Denzel Good because that was the name that Paul Gutierrez brought up and thought that he was going to be a vital part to that Raiders offensive line. So Jacob and Fresno, to really answer your question, I know that this is a very detailed way to answer your question. I don't think we have a good idea of how Alex Leatherwood is just yet. You really don't know a whole lot of anything. We'll get a little bit of an idea in training camp. I think everyone's rooting for him to be that guy. We all saw the second year jump that Colton Miller made after everyone thought, including myself, that he wasn't going to be able to make it and solidify himself as a solid offensive lineman. Now he's held down that left tackle position. He's got a contract extension, and he's the one guy that we all know is going to be there in 2022. So, you know, everyone's hoping for that kind of bounce up, that bounce back, second year bounce up from Alex Leatherwood. But again, I don't think it's fair to say that he's had a good offseason or he's had a bad offseason, because honestly, in his position, you really just don't know until training camp. And that doesn't get started for veterans till July 20th. So thank you so much for that. Hopefully that gives you a little bit of a better idea. And also, by hearing from Paul and Lincoln Kennedy, you know what you're looking for. You know what we're looking for while we're out there looking at these guys to see if they are stepping their game up and having a good offseason or not. Again, thank you so much for that text. I do appreciate you. And speaking of calls and texts, we got your calls and texts coming up in segment number three of today's Locked On Raiders podcast after I tell you about BetOnline.net. They're your number one source for all your betting needs and sports information. They got the latest sports developments, league reviews, and news. They had the Stanley Cup Finals, but that's over. Major League Baseball, that's going strong. BetOnline.net, your continued source for all your sports wagering information. They got live betting, esports, and a whole lot more. Check out BetOnline.net. They're your best spot for all your sports scores, podcasts, and news this season. They're the fastest and easiest way to check in on all your favorite sports and events, including MMA, boxing, and golf. All you got to do is head to the website today on your laptop or your mobile device to learn about the trends and all the action. BetOnline.net, that's where the game starts.
Your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Raiders. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Here we go, Raider Nation. Segment number three of today's Locked On Raiders podcast. Your calls and texts straight off that Locked On Raider podcast. Voicemail line 707-654-4693. Let's start things off with a call from King Raider in L.A. He's calling to talk about the new Raiders logo that's out right now, and it's on sale at multiple outlets. Here he is, King Raider in L.A.
Hey, what's up, Q? It's your boy, King Raider. I'm out here in L.A., California. Well, I really live in Compton, California, but born and raised in L.A., so I'm an LA Raider. Besides that, I haven't been called, but I kind of got stuck. So I want to elaborate better on, first off, quick opinions. The new little logo they made with two swords and the Raider Nation right in the middle of it, I kind of dig it. I like the way the hat looks. It says Raider Nation right in the middle of it. Got the two swords on it. For me personally, it looks pretty cool, you know? New style, put the Raider Nation on there. It's pretty cool. And I mean, as we started, that the Buccaneers, they basically stole our image and just put a little face covering on it. Hey, who doesn't want to be the Raiders? We got the best logo and the best coverage. They just couldn't get away with everything. Second off, who doesn't want to play with Matt Mack? You see the work that boy's putting in. The way he put it in work last season, man, all the big names are going to come on that back. Just wait until the other round of the edges comes around. They're going to want to come play with that back. I'm looking too, like I said on my last call on Friday, I was big there with the team. And in the middle, Mad Max, Chandler, Brown, Perry. I mean, you're already on the squad. I ain't going to give you all the rundown, but just picture all them dudes on the field. Man, that defense would be beefy. But at the same time, we need to take care of the house. Keep showing all the people the dudes that are showing all the people to us. And get Waller some money. But what if? What if they bring in both guys? Get Waller some guaranteed money. Get Sue some type of money. And we get something going. I mean, you never know. So that's basically what I got to say to you. Let me know what you think on that. And also, if there's any chance, because it probably won't feel like a Julio Jones too, that would be tough. But let's take care of Waller first. Let's see what's up with Sue, because I remember last season or the season before that, it was also rumored that Tua wanted to come with the Raiders. They were showing pictures of him with a Raiders jacket on and all that. Keep doing a thank you. First listen in the morning. Have a great week. Have a great week, Raider Nation. God, no. Just win, baby.
There he goes. That's King Raider in L.A. Thank you for the call, my man. And I'm starting to hear more and more fans talk positively about the Raiders logo. I think it's going to sell a ton because, well, you know, Raider Nation wants to have every piece of merchandise. So that's going to sell. And, of course, that's the motivation behind it is selling, selling, selling. It's about getting the advertising dollars. That's what they're going to do. And, again, Raider Nation is so passionate that, of course, everyone's going to go out and get their fill of all the Raider gear that they can. And a lot of folks will go and get that alternate logo. But thank you so much for that call. As far as the defense, you know, we've been talking about the defense quite a bit. So I think you know where we stand as far as that's concerned. Thank you so much for your call. I appreciate you. Up next, we got a text from Raider Will out the 816. Says, Q, Raider Will at the 816 here. You're not falling for the banana in the tailpipe with regards to our offense. I really believe our offense, barring injuries, will impose their will on the various defenses we'll face this season. That bond between Josh McDaniels, Derek Carr, Devontae Adams, Hunter Renfrow, Darren Waller, etc. will be smart enough to find weaknesses in the defense to beat them into submission. That DC golf soundbite you played solidified it for me. Maybe it's the June heat that's got me tripping, but the autumn wind has got my mind cool, calm, and collected. Thanks, Q. Appreciate you. That's from Raiders Will out of the 816. Thank you so much for that text. And yeah, I agree, man. I think that the offense has an opportunity to be really stinking good. There's a lot of good weapons there. We talked about the offensive line in segment number two. If they can get that thing somewhat solidified, it ain't got to be, you know, just a stonewall offensive line. But if it's somewhat good, man, Derek Carr is going to have an opportunity to really do some good things. So I'm getting pretty pumped up about the opportunity. But again, we will see how it all shakes out. Training camp starts next month, and that's going to be a whole lot of fun. Let's go back out to the phone. Lines take a call from Most Known Unknown. He's calling to talk about that Kool-Aid I might be drinking when it comes to head coach Josh McDaniels and what he brings to the table as far as working with Derek Carr and getting the most out of him. Here he is, Most Known Unknown.
Hey Q, what's going on, brother? Just checking in. One of your comments that you made on the podcast inspired me to call in. When you said maybe you're drinking the Kool-Aid and you said that you might be drinking the Kool-Aid. What's your comments on Josh McDaniels? And I'm gonna come out and back you on this one, brother. Drink it up. Drink it up. Make yourself a big old picture of that red and black, red Kool-Aid, cause you know where we from, how we grew up. It was always that red Kool-Aid. And gulp it down. Gulp it down in your silver and black cup. Because I'm gonna be right with you. One of the reasons why I had such a strong response on those Pro Football focused rankings when it came to offensive play callers is because of how high I am on Josh McDaniels. And I'm drinking the Kool-Aid with you, man. I don't see how the Raiders do not have the second best coach in the AFC West. I mean, Andy is Andy. Andy's set in stone. But again, I'm not going to reiterate what I said in my last call, but with Josh, what he has been through and the games he's won, even as a coordinator, I'm sorry. I think he has the edge over Staley and the edge over Hackett. So because of that, I think he's going to work wonders with Carr. I think Carr is going to get a level of coaching and a level of detail that he's never had before, that the other quote-unquote elite quarterbacks, such as your Patrick Mahomes and other even Tom Brady, just other quarterbacks who have been with high-level coaches for most of their career, they've gotten a level of detail and preparation and scheming that Derek Carr has never had until this point. And I believe it's going to be like the Matrix. It's going to be like when Neo first saw the Matrix and he's like, wow, he's going to just see another level of football and it's going to take his game to another level. I believe Josh McDaniels is the X factor on why the Raiders will do well. And Q, I'm going to double down on this, and if I have to eat crow later, if I have to put my foot in my mouth, then I'll do it. But I'm going on the record right now. Let me check the date. Tuesday, June 28th, it's 5:46 in the morning. I'm going on the record and saying, within the next 2 years, the Raiders will at least make a Super Bowl. June 28th, 5:46 p.m. I'm saying it. That's how bullish I am on the Raiders and Josh McDaniels, and that's how bullish I am on this new regime, and I'm drinking the Kool-Aid, brother.
Nice call right there. That's most known unknown, and he's talking about making a big old pitcher of Kool-Aid. He's going to drink it right there with me and let it be known. The Raiders are going to be in the Super Bowl in the next two seasons. So mark it down, run it back. That's a bold prediction, and I'm not mad at that. I think it's a good thing. I think it's cool to have high expectations, right? I mean, how many times as Raider fans have we gone into a regular season and been like, yeah, this season's going to stink? You know what I mean? Or try to psych ourselves up to thinking that it's going to be good, knowing damn well it's not. I like the fact that there's high expectations. I like the fact that most people, including myself, are like, yeah, this team has an opportunity to be great. Now, of course, they got to go out there and do it. I mean, we can't predict it in June. We're not going to be able to tell in training camp that, hey, they're going to be playing in Arizona at the Super Bowl. We can't say that. But you know what? Going into the training camp and the regular season saying, you know what? I think this team has a chance to be something special. That's a good feeling. I like it. The Raiders team, the organization itself, has put the right pieces in place, the weapons in place. Of course, there's still a few holes left on the team, but not something that I don't think the team could overcome. I like this feeling. I really do. It's a lot of fun having high expectations. There's nothing wrong with that. And, I mean, man, it's a lot better than the alternative, which is sitting back knowing, like the folks in Detroit. Yeah, they got some pieces to like, but do they think that they're really going to be players? No. Washington football team, do they think they're going to be players? No. You know what I mean? Like, there's so many teams out there. The Carolina Panthers don't even know who their damn quarterback's going to be, right? I mean, there's just so many questions. The Cleveland Browns don't know when their quarterback's going to play. Seattle's talking about Drew Locke and Geno Smith. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, the list goes on and on and on. There's so many questions out there. And the Raiders, their biggest question is, can they just put it together? Can their offensive line be solid and their defense be decent and good? That's it. I like that. I really do like that feeling. So thank you, Most Known Unknown, for that call. I appreciate you. Let's get one more call in as we'll close out the show. We'll take it from Dave in Phoenix. He's calling to talk about the show, Derek Carr, and why he's fired up about this team. Here he is, Dave in Phoenix.
Hey, Q, it's Dave in Phoenix. Hey, I just want to touch on a couple of things, man. First off, you. Man, as a listener, I honestly think that you're killing it, dude. You are killing it. I, for one, and I imagine I can probably speak for most of Raider Nation, in saying that I'm proud of you, man. You're absolutely killing it in what you do. You know, when you report on stuff, dude, it's, like you're a kid in a candy store. And I've always lived by the motto that if you love what you do for a living, you'll never work a day in your life. And man, as hard as you're working, you ain't working. It doesn't sound like it, at least. It's like, you know, this is your hobby. And, it's awesome. It's awesome to see, man. So good job on all that. And I love your content. I look forward to listening to your podcast every day. Second thing, I feel the same way about Derek Carr, dude. Derek Carr is as passionate as a player as you get. He's a great leader. He's well-spoken. He's a hell of an athlete. I think he's a hell of a quarterback. Man, it's just a great time to be a fan, I think. And they're surrounding him with like-minded people, you know, Devontae Adams, Hunter Renfro, Darren Waller, Max Crosby, Chandler Jones, man, they're all good character people, and they just, they love the game, dude. I'm excited to be a Raiders fan, so looking forward to it. And hey, you know what? If we're not saying that we're not Super Bowl bound, why are we even here? You know, what are we even doing? The goal is the Super Bowl. The goal is not the playoffs. The goal is the Super Bowl, right? So let's go, Raiders. I am stoked. So just win, baby.
There he goes. That's Dave in Phoenix. Thank you so much for the call. Thanks for the compliments on the show, man. I really do appreciate that. And I'm living my best life. I really am. I never thought that someone like me would be in a position that I'm in and covering my favorite team and talking on sports radio and talking on national sports radio. And, you know, I mean, it's just, again, it's incredible. It's such a great feeling. So I definitely appreciate the shout out and the compliments. And also, man, excited about this team. As I was saying with Most Known Unknown's call, excited about what this team could possibly do. I love the fact that Raider Nation is fired up. I mean, I really do. I think that that's healthy. You know, it's been way too many years. And I know there's a lot of folks that are still skeptical and, hey, I've been burned too many times. I don't want to, you know, set myself up for failure again. That's fine. But knowing that there's expectations, knowing that, you know, the majority of the fan base is feeling pretty good about the direction that the team is going, I think that's a good feeling. I think it's great. So, Dave, thank you so much for the call. Thanks for the feedback. Definitely appreciate that. And that's going to do it for today's show. Still got more calls and texts straight off that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line. Of course, 707-654-4693. We'll get to some more of that on tomorrow's show. I wanted to play the interview. I was going to put the interview that I did with Howard Bryant on Raider Nation Radio 920. He's the man who wrote the book on Ricky Henderson. And Ricky Henderson, of course, is my favorite player of all time. HowardBryantBooks.com. You can go check it out. And check out the book on Ricky Henderson. I actually bought it on Tuesday and had him on my radio show on Tuesday. I almost brought that interview to the table, but had a couple different subjects I want to talk about. But the one thing about Ricky Henderson is he wanted to be a member of the Raiders. He wanted to be a running back for the Raiders so bad, and his mom and his grandmother would not let him play football, so he stuck to baseball and, well, turned into a Hall of Famer. But could you imagine, and I might bring that interview to the table before the week's over, but could you imagine if Ricky Henderson and Bo Jackson had been playing for the Silver and Black? Woo! Look out, man. And he was a hell of a running back as well. So he could have done it. He could have done just about anything that he wanted to. So maybe sometime this week I'll get that interview on the show. If not, I have no problem talking about it because, man, that was my favorite athlete, my favorite player of all time, Ricky Henderson. Loved when he was a member of the A's and definitely enjoyed that conversation I had on Tuesday with Howard Bryant. Again, the book, you can find it on howardbryantbooks.com, all about the greatest baseball player, greatest leadoff hitter to ever do it. That is Ricky Henley Henderson. So that's going to do it for today's show. Raider Nation, appreciate you as always. Thanks so much for making the show your first listen each and every day. Remember, you can find Locked On Raiders podcast free and available on all platforms. Until tomorrow, Raider Nation, take care of yourself. Love on your family. Take care of your family. And most importantly, as always, just win, baby.